think again. See white powder everywhere, like snow or heavy dust on the floor. A patina of corrosion on the aircraft wings stacked in their jigs around me, white on the workbenches.
Helen!
Shouts Warrant Officer Hastings, stepping over the boundary of his protective perimeter. I don't need to look round to know it's too late for her, but I still cringe. I drop the ward and gasp as air touches the palm of my hand and the spot on my sternum that's beginning to sting like a kicked wasp's nest. My ears are ringing. I turn back to the bench with a signal generator to check my PDA for the Thorm field. Unwelcome surprises come in threes. Number one is, the bench is a centimeter deep in white, dusty powder. Surprise number two is, my PDA has gone to meet its maker. It's actually scorched and blackened, the case melted around one edge. And surprise number three, a thin, wispy trickle of smoke is rising from behind the scorched, naturally, canvas screens around the Lightning's cockpit instruments, ground zero for the pulse of necromantic energy that has just seared through the hangar like a boiling propane vapor explosion. Here's Hastings, kneeling and clutching a dented steel teapot that looks as if it's been sandblasted, sobbing over a pile of... The ringing in my ears is louder and louder still, and the big hangar doors crack open to admit a ray of daylight to the crypt, and the howl of the airfield fire tender's siren, but they're too late. I get home late, really late. So late, I end up expensing a taxi to take me into Birmingham to catch the last train, and another taxi home at the other end. Iris will probably give me a chewing out over it, but I'll cross that bridge when I come to it. The emergency response team kept me at the first aid post for a couple of hours, under observation, but I'm okay, really. Just scooped out and full of a numinous sense of dread, looping on the bright purple flash as I looked round and saw the door opening. Helen standing there for a moment as the Thorm field on the instrument console collapsed, sucking out the life from anything within a 50-meter radius that wasn't locked down and shielded. Hangar 6 isn't going to have a rat problem for a while. The unshielded instrument console entangled with the shielded airframe I just exercised, and the 70-something lady in the pink slippers, shuffling forward with a tea tray and two mugs she'd carefully poured for us, too clever by half. As I open the front door, I can feel the house sulking. I switch on the lights and hang up my coat in the hall, fighting the urge to hunch my shoulders defensively. It's Mo, of course. This is her house as much as it's mine. Okay, it's our maisonette. Two civil servants can't possibly afford a house in London, even if they're both management track, and it reflects her mood. I cancelled Pete and Sandy, but I can't cancel Mo. She's got a snit on, perfectly justifiable. I really ought to go upstairs and apologize, but as I bend down to untie my shoelaces, I find my hands are shaking. An indeterminate time later, I open my eyes. I'm sitting at the kitchen table with an empty glass in my hand. The quality of the light just changed. Bob? It's Mo, wearing a dressing gown, rubbing her eyes.
Shit.
Bob? Her tone of voice changes, softening slightly.
What's wrong?
I clear my throat, force air through my larynx. I screwed up. The bottle of Talisker sitting beside my left hand is half empty. Mo peers at it, then takes a step closer and peers at me. Then she picks up the bottle, pops the cork, and pours a generous two fingers into my glass, bless her. Drink up. She pauses with a hand on the back of the other kitchen chair. Am I going to need one too? Dunno, maybe. She goes to the cupboard and takes out another glass before she sits down. I blink at her, red-eyed and confused. Talk. She pours a shot into her own glass.
In your own time.
I glance at the kitchen clock. It's 1 a.m.
And it'll be 1 a.m. again at least once a day for the rest of your life. So talk if you want, or drink up and come to bed.
I sip my whiskey. I screwed up.
How badly?
I killed a bystander.
A bite?
She freezes with her glass halfway to her lips.
Jesus, Bob.
Pause.
How did you do that?
She looks appalled, but probably much less appalled than your spouse would look if you confessed to killing someone over the kitchen table. Mo is made of stern stuff. Angleton sent me to do a routine job, only I missed something and fucked up my prep.
But you're still...
She bites her lip.
and now she looks shaken. My ears sketch in the missing word. Alive.
Oh, I almost got it right, I explain, waving my glass. Warrant Officer Hastings wasn't hurt, and I'm here. But then I remember the purple flash again, and the door opening, and the sight of Helen's face aging 100 years in a second right before my eyes. Only the tea lady opened the door at the worst possible moment.
Mo is silent for a while, so I take another sip.
Fatal accidents never happen because of just one mistake, I try to explain. It takes a whole chain of stupids lining up just so to put a full stop at the end of an epitaph.
So what did you do afterwards? She asks quietly.
Afterwards? It was too late to do anything, I shrug. I told them not to disturb the scene and called the plumbers. Then I had to wait until they arrived and hang around while they logged the scene and filed a preliminary report and bagged the body, which took all evening. They had to use a Dyson. There wasn't enough left of her to fill a teacup, never mind a reanimator's workbench. It's on the books as a level 4 excursion, incidental unintended fatality. The desk officer was very understanding, but I've got a 10 o'clock appointment with someone in operational oversight to file an R60. An official incident report. Then I suppose there'll be an inquiry. And the juggernaut of an internal investigation will start to roll, bearing down on my ass like hell's own lawnmower in search of an untrimmed blade of grass. But it's not as if I don't deserve it. I take another sip of the whiskey, wishing I could drown myself in it. This isn't the first time I've killed someone, but it's the first time I've killed a civilian bystander, and I lack the words to express how I feel.
I was going to dump on you, Mo tells me, but forget it.
She empties her glass, and I realize that while I was seeing that purple light, the whiskey has evaporated from my tumbler.
Come to bed now.
I push myself to my feet, neck drooping. It won't make things better.
No.
I feel like shit.
No, Bob, you need to get some sleep.
I am a shit.
You need to get some sleep. Come to bed.
If you say so. I follow her upstairs. Today's been shit, and tomorrow is quite possibly going to be worse. But it can wait for a while.